Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Thanks so much for being here with us on this Thursday afternoon, or maybe it's a Thursday evening where you are. Oh, wherever you are, I love to say this. We're happy you're here with us. And you're going to be happy you're here with us too. First hour, Rose Sweet. Second hour, Tim Staples. And we're going to talk in this first hour about something that maybe will help us avoid something that we often talk about with Rose, that is divorce and annulment, and about how to avoid getting to that point, avoiding bitterness in marital suffering. And if you have questions in that regard, if you'd like some help in that regard, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You can find out all about what Rose Sweet does at her website, rosesweet.com, Catholic author, speaker, life coach, and all-around awesome person. Hi, Rose Sweet.
I love that. Keep going. Keep going.
We've got to get to the show. If I kept going, I don't think I would stop, Rose.
Okay. That's a perfect answer. Okay. So today I want to share some of my personal life with your listeners as a segue into our topic, which is avoiding bitterness when your marriage is suffering.
Yeah.
Those of you who know, I was married to Bob. Bob was my high school sweetheart from 1968, and we met again at a high school reunion.
So you went to high school as a child, huh? As a little child? You must have been like 5 years old in 1968.
That's nice.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. So when we got married, shortly thereafter, Bob lost his vision in one of his eyes due to glaucoma. So he was half blind, and God bless him, he worked really hard at, you know, continuing his life with one eye. But he had to change careers in midlife, and that's a big emotional hit, and he lost his reputation in the work world and income and some vitality, and he had a lot of guilt and shame and fear. Well, but that was just the beginning. Then he had neuropathy and back problems and more continually having physical problems. And then one day he had to come and tell me that he'd lost several hundred thousand dollars in an investment of our retirement was completely gone. So that shook us up. You didn't think we had some fights and arguments and screaming and crying over that. But there again, he carried a lot of guilt and shame and fear. And he tried really hard to make things work. He couldn't see very well. So we lost our house and had to move from the San Francisco Bay Area and move down to the Southern California desert area where I was from. And he tried again to, work, and he had difficulty. And a few years later, we lost that house. So our life is not going very well. Circumstances are just, you know, piling on one top on the other. And then he gets prostate cancer. So now he has to go through the fear of that. Am I going to die? What do I do? And as a result, he lost his ability to perform in the marital act. So now his money's gone out the window. His career's gone out the window. He can't see. He can't have loving relations with his wife, the way he would like to. And he's starting to get very depressed and angry. And guess where all that depression and anger turns to? Me.
Yeah.
So I knew this intellectually, and I knew how to handle it, but emotionally I didn't. And so there were times where I was like, you know, really angry and tried to be like Saint Monica and just suffer with like a saint. But what I was doing was tolerating a lot of abuse and a lot of hurt. And so I had to find a different way to be patient and loving and not throw myself under the bus. So then Bob continued to lose sight in his other eye, Now that's scary. And he'd go to the American Blind Association and they sent him devices, and he was trying to make it in real estate and he couldn't read the stuff on the computer and his eyes are getting worse. And then he had to stop driving at night. And then he had to stop driving during the day. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
A man who now he can't do anything. He can't even drive. What does he do? He's not producing income. So he's real depressed and real angry. And at that point, he stopped going to church. That was a huge shock to me. Because we could talk about, you know, praying to God and asking for grace and all that other stuff. But he just made it clear, I'm done with all that. And I was shocked. I didn't know where that had come from. And he finally told me that when he was a little boy, I wish I had known this. He was about 8 years old, and his mom and dad he was an only child, and they had a horrible marriage. He watched his mother try to stab his father with a kitchen knife. They were so mad at each other. And one time he watched his father chase his mother down the driveway with a shotgun.
Good Lord.
I know. So here's a sensitive, artistic, creative, intelligent boy who's feeling completely unsafe in the world. And he told me at that moment of clarity and honesty, I remember, Rose, I made the decision to say, screw you, Mom, screw you, Dad, screw you, church, and screw you, God. And that shocked me when I heard those words come out. You don't curse God.
Oh, yeah.
You don't do that.
And you're talking about a child. He was 8 years old.
Yes. But this is one of those bitter root decisions that he made that he carried with him all his life. And I had no clue. So what was happening, that part of him was always there, but because circumstances were fine, life was good, everybody was happy, we were young, we were strong, money was rolling in, kids are being born, right? But when all this stuff ended and started piling, that part of him emerged and was very angry. And so, you know, what do I do as a wife? I can't talk to him endlessly. I can't beg him to go back to church. I had to learn a whole new way to respond in these marital difficulties without being bitter. It's like, well, I didn't sign up for this.
Right.
But so it's getting worse and worse. And then, ta-da, he has a massive stroke. I'm away for the weekend when he has it. I'm at the Catholic Psychotherapy Association having a wonderful time with all my Catholic peers talking about Catholic things and God and man and all this stuff. And my husband is like, you know, facing death. When I come home, he can't speak. He can barely see, he can't talk, he can't read, and he can't write. And over the next few weeks or so, he got about 10 words. Yeah, no, okay, him, her, and the F-bomb. And you know what? In a certain sense, he needed that to help release the really building pent-up rage in him.
Right, right.
So we went through the whole thing where now there's no money, and now the financial bills are piling up, and I'm like going, you know, how do I love this man? How do I remain faithful in this marriage? So I tried to take care of him. I couldn't. And so he ended up in a skilled nursing facility for a couple of years before he passed away last year. But at that time, I was terrified that he would go to hell. A part of me was afraid. And so I prayed deliverance prayer for him every day because I knew that vow he had made when as a child had brought in darkness to him. So I prayed for him every single day. And lots of other stuff. But a few weeks before he passed, and I asked him for 2 years, do you want to see a priest? Do you want to see a priest? No, 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 blah, 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 blah. And he would scream and yell at me. So anyway, one day I walked in and he was changed. And he looked at me and he made the sign of the cross. And he pointed out the window toward the church. I go, you want a priest? He goes, yeah, yeah. So I ran out of that room and called Father, and Father came in and gave him all the fullness of the beautiful last rites. He heard his confession. Even though a person can only say yes or no, you can still hear their confession.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I wasn't there, but it was a beautiful time, and he received Holy Communion and apostolic pardon, and a few weeks later he was gone. So I learned a lot of how to respond in a marriage when your spouse is completely not just letting you down, but hurting you, attacking you, criticizing you, at putting the entire burden of, you know, living your life together on you. And, you know, how do you deal with that? And I would thank God for his grace for me and the beautiful teachings of our Catholic Church that I was able to draw on to do this. But today I really want to help people. I have six, you know, I brought six steps to avoiding bitterness.
Yep.
I went through a lot of suffering. And at that time, I couldn't believe, I was shocked. One of my girlfriends, not a close friend, she said, "Why don't you file for divorce? You didn't sign up for this. You know, he's going to drain you dry financially." Well, I got him on welfare finally. It took me a long time, but that helped financially. But my friends were saying, some of my friends were saying, just leave him. You know, you're no spring chicken, and nobody's taking care of you. You're going to go down with the ship. And I was just like, I'm not going to do that to this man. I love him. Can't abandon him. I don't want to abandon him. And then another one, I went out to lunch and a girl's friend said, "So are you dating?" Bob had been in the facility for about a year and a half. I go, "What? Well, you've been on your own now for almost 2 years, and, you know, he's never going to come out, and, you know, you should have some fun."
Wow, Rose.
Uh-huh. These are Christian women. Christian women.
First of all, Rose, thank you for sharing it. I think it's very helpful, especially to describe how you get to the point where you say, "I didn't sign up for this," because, you know, I think for some of us, it would take much, much less. And for some of us, it has taken much, much less to get to the point of saying, "I didn't sign up for this." So I'm going to take the break. And when we come back, I want you to go through your steps for avoiding bitterness when there is marital suffering. And then we'll take calls. 888-318-7884 is the number. You want to talk about marital suffering with Rose Sweet. You want some tips. You want some help. You want to share your story. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Support for Catholic Answers Live comes from Catholic Chemistry, a dating app for Catholics. Founded by a longtime member of the Catholic Answers team, CatholicChemistry.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This month, EWTN Radio prepares you for Lent with Father Benedict Rochelle's daily Lenten meditations, Lenten reflections from priests across England, and of course, Catholic Radio's premier shows featuring Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, The Daily Mass, Open Line with Father John Trigilio, and more. EWTN Radio, your source of truth that allows Catholics to grow in their faith and recognize the true mission of the Catholic Church.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet is our guest, and just shared with us testimony of, well, I would say in all things, it's testimony for the Christian person. If you tell your story, it's the testimony of God's goodness. That's what it is. At the root, that's what telling the story of a Christian life is. It's the story of God's goodness. But that don't mean it's a story with no suffering. And Rose has been through it, and you know, got to marry her high school sweetheart, but guess what? That doesn't mean you don't come to times where you say, "I didn't sign up for this. This is too much. This is more than I asked for." So now I'd like to get from you, Rose, your tips for avoiding bitterness when there is suffering, and sometimes intense suffering, in marriage.
Okay. I want to add to my story quickly.
Okay.
We all want to get to the place where we really and truly love our spouse. We don't know what we're saying when we ask for that, and we don't know what that looks like. The gift that God gave me was to be able to rise above my normal and good needs and wants, and to see Bob as God sees him, and to love him as God loves him, and to be there for him in whatever way I could. And I'll never forget when he could still walk and see, he would walk me to the front door of the facility when I would leave and give me a big, long hug. And I just remember being in his arms in that quiet place of, this is love.
Yeah.
This is marriage. This is marriage. And it was sweeter than any other, really other happy moment. And I just have to say that. So how do you avoid bitterness? Well, what is scripture says that the root of bitterness troubles you and defiles many. Bitterness is horrible. And when I felt that creeping into my attitude, I knew I had to do something. So the first thing I did, step number one to avoid bitterness, is seek understanding. Okay. Of course, I have to understand where Bob is coming from, or where your spouse is being difficult or not participating. You want to understand that. But you first need to understand yourself. Self-awareness is key in the interior life, in the spiritual life. Why am I triggered? What am I afraid of? How am I going to respond to this? That's what you're responsible for. So when you're seeking understanding, start first with yourself. Get a good guide to do that, a spiritual director, a coach, a therapist. And seeking understanding doesn't mean that you tolerate it. I understood why Bob flipped me off and screamed at me at the top of his lungs. I totally understood it. But I got to a place where I said, I can't have you treat me that way. And I would get my purse and walk out of his little room and go home. And then I had to wait for him to tell the nurse to give me a call. I couldn't make it easy for him to mistreat me.
Yep.
Because in that certain sense, I'm complicit then in that. So it was a whole new, it was really putting love into action and practice. So seek understanding, but start with yourself.
You know, those two right there break through, I think what you mentioned, a trap of trying to be like St. Monica. And there's a way in which you can, in a certain sense, maybe try to do the last steps without doing the earlier steps in these kinds of things. But saying no is not like saying, no, you can't treat me that way, or I can't stay here if you're going to treat me that way. That's not unchristian. That's not less than the person who just suffers and suffers and suffers. That's good, healthy, wholesome Christianity, as a matter of fact.
That's exactly right, which leads into the second step is don't tolerate disrespect or abuse. That's not loving. And, you know, I always am testing myself, going to scripture. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And I realized there were times they wanted to kill him and throw him over a cliff, and he didn't let them. He said, no, you can't treat me that way. And he ran away. A couple times that we know about, they came to stone him. And he goes, no, you can't treat me that way. It's not the time. It's not the place. It's not good.
Right.
I'm out of here. Right? So accepting suffering, it has to be for a specific purpose and time, and you know what you're doing. It's just not, tolerating suffering. Because, again, as I said, you might be complicit in their sin, and you don't want to do that.
Right. That's a kind of sickness that can happen where both the abuser or the person who's neglectful or the person who's mean and the person who is on the receiving end of that both need to stop with the sickness.
Right. And we have so many good Catholic psychotherapists out there who will help your listeners with, getting to the root of some of these codependent attachment things that are going on. We have all these big words, but they're all beautiful, and it will all help free you from bitterness.
All right. Give us step three then to avoiding bitterness when there's suffering in marriage.
Okay. This is one of my phrases, and all my coaching clients are sick of hearing me say this to them all the time. I go, in the big scheme of eternity, it's one of my little lead-ins. And they laugh and they go, yeah. But it is, see the big picture first. In 2 Corinthians, it says, for this momentary affliction prepares us for eternal weight of glory. So there's the here and now, and there's eternity. And most of us have our head down, and we're looking at the here and now, and we're not happy with the here and the now, and we're bitter about the here. But if we would stop and just take a deep breath and look up and remember Jesus and his promises and the glory that awaits us, we can begin to be free from the bitterness by remembering the big picture, seen through the lens of eternity. It sounds simple, and it is simple, and you can do it, because I've done it. If I can do it, you can do it.
Is that how you feel? If you can do it, someone else can do it? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so see the big picture. All right. What else do we need to do?
Okay, number one, seek understanding and start with yourself. Number two, don't tolerate disrespect and abuse. Jesus didn't. You don't have to either. Number three, see the big picture first. Doesn't mean ignore the here and now, but put right order. And number four is, and this is a lifelong journey here, step number four, become detached.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it means in general, but what does that mean in the context of marital suffering? Because
in any relationship, it doesn't mean that you're not uncaring, but you're first dependent on God and his love for you and your love for him. And that fills up your gaps and your holes, and that's your security.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're centered there, you're not so dependent and attached to your husband or your kids or your work or money or anything else. Because when those things go up and down, up and down, up and down, you're getting dragged along with it, hitting the pavement, going up and down. You know, Bob was going through major ups and downs, horrible. If I had tied myself to him in an unhealthy way, I'd be going up and down with that too.
Right.
And that's self-harm that's not good. And God is saying, don't attach yourself to your spouse in that way. Attach yourself to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. I have what you need. I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. I have a love that I will never leave you or forsake you. All those beautiful words that God tells us, that Jesus has told us, I'm the one that you should be attached to first. So be loving and caring, but don't be overly attached to anybody. And it's like, that's a big new message for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a right. That's right. But you know what? I think if you said that without the part about attaching to God, who is totally reliable, not up and down, not mercurial, same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That makes it possible, I suppose. I can't see how you could detach properly and still love someone unless you were, in fact, attached to God, who's reliable.
Well, I think people who do try to get, they recognize something, but they don't go to God. They go to drugs, alcohol, recreation.
Yeah, that'll detach you.
Or in the Eastern religions, they go to nothingness. They go, man, life is so horrible. I just got to detach from everything. That means I need to disappear, shrink, not care. And it's an unhealthy detachment. It's you're floating along in a horrible void. And to me, that's hell. So God, that's what God wants. He says, I have everything you need. And do we believe that or not?
All right, you got 2 minutes to give me the last two. And
okay.
And folks are waiting on the phone for you.
Okay, number five, I hate this, offer it up, offer it up. But I didn't lead with that. But so remember, St. Paul said to the Colossians 1:24, we make up in Christ's suffering what is lacking. And so not that Christ's perfect sacrifice once for all wasn't enough to open the doors of heaven and gain our freedom, but he invites us to pick up our cross and enter into that suffering with him. When we do, we're freed from that bad attachment where there's graces that are flowing through us. So, and there's power that comes from our suffering. When we offer our suffering to Jesus, he does something with that. He takes like his magic wand, you know, that's a bad analogy, but like he does his magic juju, whatever, he brings fruit from that. So, I remember Fulton Sheen has a quote about, he drove by a hospital one time and he shook his head and said, there's so much wasted suffering in there.
Yeah.
So much wasted suffering.
Right.
And the last one of all is give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
In
That's
all
not easy.
Things. 1 Thessalonians. Here's the thing. I watched myself, though. I asked God for the grace. I watched myself change in all this suffering for the last 10 or 12 years. I watched myself grow in virtue. Not that I didn't cry and scream and throw a few F-bombs out myself, but I was able, with God's grace, to let go of some of the old ways and the old things that weren't good. And I found deeper peace and joy even in the sufferings. And for that, I give great thanks for that. And I give thanks because I was able to accompany Bob in the last years of his life as a prayer warrior on his side. And I remember at his deathbed, an hour before he died, I was praying with him and over him and my hands on his chest, just saying, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Praise God, Rose. All right. Well, now you can ask Rose what you'd like. If you have questions about avoiding that bitterness that comes from the suffering that comes to all marriages, 888-318-7884. What is the Catholic Church? Everybody seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people try to make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The stigmata, the appearance of Christ's wounds on ordinary believers. Is it real or fake? What's the evidence? And if real, what could God's reason be for causing this? In God's Wounds, author John Clark offers what may be the most thorough, honest, and faithful reckoning with the stigmata ever written, examining the evidence and making sense of it both medically and spiritually. Order God's Wounds today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Rose Sweet, our guest. Three lines open. We've got six, and three are open. If you'd like to talk with Rose about maybe how you coped with marital suffering, how the Lord got you through times of marital suffering, our topic is avoiding bitterness in marital suffering, or perhaps you'd like some help in that area. You're welcome to call whatever it is, 888-318-7884. Rose, our first call. Holy Family Radio, Michael in Louisville, Kentucky. Michael, thank you very much for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
This is kind of more of a statement. This
okay.
is kind of how I avoided bitterness.
Okay.
My wife and I stopped having relations in 1991 after the suicide of her father.
Oh, mm. I'm so sorry.
I thought she was going to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 years later, and we were still celibates, a voice from thin air prayed the rosary with me, and I stopped praying. I was praying for death. And it turned me around 180 degrees, and I started praying for a pro-life art idea. And I started doing the Mysteries of the Rosary with the pro-life art theme, and that and I buried myself in that. And anytime that Rita, my wife, would want to, you know, I would have abandoned the artwork to have start a family, but she never did. She just stayed frigid. And but she passed away now for, she's been a year and a month, but I loved her so much, and I miss her so, but she got anointed, and that was a blessing, but it's just, that's how I survived the misery of, because I had hormones hitting on all eight cylinders, you know, and it was tough on me, but I buried myself in artwork, and Mother Mary, it was like I was married to Mother Mary, is what it was like the priest were married to Mother Mary, and that's how I viewed my celibacy.
Wow, Michael, you went through a lot, you know, and burying yourself, you know, is a form of escape from the pain, but I love that you buried yourself in Christian art, something to do with the beauty and the truth and the goodness of God. That in itself was prayerful, right?
It was. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished. It's,
yeah, you
hope,
know what you...
I hope to save souls with it, you know, turn people away from, you know, abortion and sterilization and contraception and stuff. You know, I write about that quite a bit.
So, again...
You know, I went through it, you know.
So here, God has working through you and your cooperation with him and through your suffering to bring great good to others. And it doesn't mean he's going to repair the marriage, but it means he's going to bring some good out of it for everybody. And I thank you for sharing. I think that's beautiful.
Thank you for sharing your story. That was a beautiful story you had. The love you had for your husband. That just hurt my, got into my heart when I heard that.
Just you got into my heart today, brother. So thank you.
Michael, thank you very much. Thank you for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Rose Sweet. We're talking about avoiding bitterness in marital suffering. I feel like we've often talked about we've talked about preparing for marriage. We've talked about what happens when divorce happens. We talked about annulment, but this is one I'm so glad we finally got around to, and it was your idea, Rose, and it's a brilliant idea, because this is the reality of marriage, especially I almost want to say in the modern world, where I think we have a false idea of marriage. Many people get married with a false idea of marriage. And it's supposed to carry weight that it can't, it's just not made to carry. But I'm very grateful for this, Rose. Thanks for coming up with this topic for today. I do want people to know you can call if you want to talk about how to avoid bitterness in marital suffering, 888-318-7884. Lee's in Houston, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Lee, go ahead with your question.
Hi, guys. It's a great show today. My question may not necessarily be overly on topic, but I was just fascinated by Rose's story. What was your frame of mind? What was your what did you do next? Like, once your husband passed, you committed so much time to him. Once he passed, how did you get back into, if that makes any sense?
How did I get back into life?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. The first thing I did was I slept a lot. I was exhausted from those years. And I realized I didn't have my energy back for about 6 months. And I just let myself take lots of naps. And I continued to pray. And I went out to lunch with girlfriends. And I went to the mall. I've downsized from Nordstrom to TJ Maxx. But I love TJ Maxx now. So I treated myself. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas has the five remedies for sorrow that are, Google that and see what they are. But the very first one is treat yourself. When you're sorrowful or worn down, just go out and be good to yourself, not overindulgent. So Lee, that's what I did. I slept and I ate and I prayed and I got back to work and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good today.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Thank you, Lee.
Well, thank you, Lee. Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you for very much for the call. 888-318-7884, the number. We seem to just have those three lines ready. So there's a line ready for you if you'd like to call and talk with Rose about a man. I really feel like we should have talked about this many, many more times, avoiding bitterness and marital suffering. Shane is in Louisiana. Shane, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. My wife and I, it's my first marriage, my wife's second, so we've tried to go through the annulment process two times already and had some difficulty because the first time one of the witnesses passed away, and the second time one of the people who was supposed to be a witness didn't cooperate with the tribunal trying to get in touch with them. And then we'd like to try again, but we're somewhat reluctant because of past difficulties and just wondering about any advice that you may be able to give us and possibly some clarification of the different steps of the process, the overall things in the process that has to do with the tribunal side as well as our side, I guess, would be the other thing that I'm wondering about.
Well, that's what I do. I help a lot of people through the annulment process. And the first step is to take a look at your own particular situation and figure out, you know, do you have grounds? What's going on there? And so that you guys understand it. And then I will walk you through the process on the tribunal end. But I don't know your situation, and I can't really give particular advice because I don't know. But I do know that sometimes when witnesses are hard to find, you can think outside the box, and that's what I like to help people do. I remember I helped an 80-year-old man, and he wanted to get an annulment, and everybody was dead, and. I thoroughly examined it, but then he told me, he said he had some old letters from his wife, handwritten letters that signed and dated. And we pulled those letters out, and there was enough information in there to support nullity, and we submitted them to the tribunal. There was no human witness, but these letters signed and dated from his former wife worked. So sometimes you need somebody to help you think outside the traditional box. And that's what I love to do. Please feel free to reach out to me. Go to my website and send me an email, and let's continue the conversation because I'd encourage you to try again, but not just blindly, because as you know, you can hit another brick wall and then you're just going to go, forget it. And the church is ridiculous, you know. So don't give up and reach out to me, and I would like to help you after the show.
Is that
good?
Okay, that definitely sounds like the good start of a plan going forward.
Yeah, a plan. I will help you, and I'll give you all the information that you need, and I can direct you to the places where you can look things up and, you know, what the church says and what she teaches and why she does it. But get on the same page with your wife and get a plan, and I'll help.
That sounds wonderful.
All right, Shane. Good. Thank you very, very much for that. If there's anybody looking for information on Rose and what Rose does, go to rosesuite.com. We're going to take a very quick break so you can. I was going to say there's three lines open, but there's only two lines open now. 888-318-7884. We're talking about a pretty important topic, avoiding bitterness when suffering comes to marriage. If you'd like some help in that area, if you'd like to talk about that in any way, 888-318-7884.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
He captivates viewers with thought-provoking political and cultural reporting that resonates with Catholics and people of faith.
The Pope made strong statements on the life issues, and then he called out surrogacy, which we rarely hear about anywhere in the culture. He said surrogacy distorts the family. Is this the clear moral voice of the Church that is needed in this moment?
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, tonight 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. You know, people tell you marriage is hard, and then you're young, you don't believe it. You don't believe in your case it's going to be hard. And then when it gets hard, where is the help? How do you know what to do? And Rose Sweet shared her story of illness and suffering in her marriage, talked about how do you come to the point where you're not bitter, where you are acting as a healthy, wholesome Christian in your marriage with whatever the difficulties might be. If you'd like to talk about, well, I was going to give out the phone number, I ain't going to, because there's 20 minutes left and all 6 lines are full now. So let's go to Perrysburg, Ohio, where Andrea, what, did you want me to give out the phone number even though they can't get in? You look mad at me.
Me? No, I wanted to ask you, do you remember me being bitter about Bob eating my sandwich?
I wasn't going to bring it up, Rose. I wasn't going to say anything about it. But this is the way I feel about it now. Bob had no right to eat that sandwich.
No, he didn't.
I love how even after all these years, it's not a joke to you. You are still deadly serious.
I'm bitter. No, I'm not.
But yeah, that there's stuff like that in marriage where, you know.
No, it is.
And I know with Missy and I, sometimes it's like, remember that time? And it's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that's still pretty fresh. So I know it's been 23 years since that happened, but still kind of fresh.
Well, you know what? And at some point we have to do what you and I are doing right now. It's just laugh about it.
Yes.
And that's what you do. If we keep the eternal perspective, this here and now thing about the sandwich in the fridge is ridiculous.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I may, Rose, and I am going to go to the phones, but one thing I've noticed about being married for a long time is that you can say sorry for stuff that happened a long, long time ago, and it will actually be healing. Like Missy told me something the other day that I never knew had hurt her, and it was a long, long time ago. And I was, and I kind of joked about it and brushed it off because I thought she was kidding. And then I realized, oh no, she's not kidding about that. She's telling me serious. So I said, you know, I am sorry about that. I didn't mean for that. And it's like we. I don't know. You can. It's not over. You know, just because it happened 30 years ago, the person might still need it. I'm sorry about that.
Right, right. And it's really healing and bonding. It's good. It's all good.
And then I was like, now I got 10 things I want you to apologize for. I don't know if that was right, but that's what I did.
I keep telling Missy, call in when I'm on here next time.
No,
Missy.
I forget the phone number. Andrea is in Perrysburg, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. We're awful glad you're here. Andrea, go ahead with your question.
Well, actually, it's not a question as much as it's a thank you for having the show on.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't catch the beginning of it, but I could relate to what Rose was saying because I, too, was in a troubled marriage, and a lot of people told me just divorce him. I mean, a couple of priests told me so. Even the our CIA director. And anyway, I'm glad I stayed because, you know, that's how God taught me how to detach with love and to truly love as God loves. And we don't know that because I was so attached to what he was doing. And he was an alcoholic and ended up getting into crack cocaine. And it took the summer of Crack Daddy for me to let go and truly trust God and totally connect to God and trust that no matter what happens, it's going to happen. And we ended up having 6 more years together that I could make amends for the way I acted, because I used to joke, and I still do today, that it was Mean Mom and Disney Dad. You know, everybody loved him. And, you know, he was a lot of fun, but he was very irresponsible. And anyway, but it was that detachment with love. And that came that night when I had to call the police because there was somebody in the backyard, the dog's going crazy. And it ended up being him when the police showed up. And they're like, lady, be reasonable, let him in. And I said, well, the door locks at 10. If he's not inside before 10 o'clock, he'll have to stay somewhere else. And I said, just a minute. And I went and got a blanket and a sleeping bag, and he could go sleep out in the garage out back. And so he did, in the back of a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And I went to work the next day and just did what I had to do to take care of myself and our children. And, you know, God brought us through all that. And today I'm still making amends to him, even though he has since passed away.
Wow.
And, making amends to our children. And two out of the three are accepting of the amends. But, again, it's teaching me to love as God loves. And our older daughter, who, you know, doesn't quite agree with a lot of the amends I've tried to make, that's okay, because I know that God loves her more than I do.
Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful thing that you just said. What a great testimony. You're not overly attached to your daughter either and her opinion of you right now at this time in her life. You know, she can hate you or disagree with you, and you're not going to, like, lose your peace or your serenity, right?
Yes. And that's the gift, because, I mean, truly, I had so much pride and ego. You know, I felt I had to run everything in our family, and I was just edging God out. But when I learned to love as God loves, and what does God do? He steps back and lets us do whatever we're going to do. And he knows that he's going to keep calling us. And I know he's going to keep calling them. I just have to stay out of the way, because I know our older daughter is really not mad at me. She's mad at God. And
right.
I can't fix that for her. She's going to have to do it on her own. But, you know, I can just pray at her until I can pray for her.
That's exactly right. Those are great words of wisdom. And that's a healthy, loving detachment. And it's not abandoning the person at all. It's a healthy, you know, we look to scripture. That's what Jesus did. You know, he said, hey, you want to walk? Pick up your mat. If you want to, you know,
yes.
Jesus wasn't in there like, you know, dragging everybody along, whether they wanted to or not. This is what we try to do. It seems like you've learned a lot. You've learned a lot, and it's really beautiful. Thanks for calling in and sharing that.
Thank you so much for being on tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you,
awesome.
Andrea. Man, that's, God is so good. I mean, to hear someone talk about suffering as a gift, then you know, okay, that person really did receive the gift that God wanted to give them.
Well, you know, the other thing that Andrea just said, too, is she realized that she was filled with a lot of pride. And those of us who are the victims and we have to do all the work and we're being responsible, my spiritual director said, you know, you got a lot of pride. And I'm like, what? I'm so humble, right? And it's like, we think we have to control everything. That's prideful. That's not trusting God. It's saying, okay, God, you're really not here for me. I got to do it myself. So everybody else get out of my way.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's go to Tim in Colorado. Tim, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
For starters, I'm not bitter. Although I will admit, when you said offer it up, I may or may not have flipped off the radio.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you know what? Okay, good. Yeah. Let's tell us more.
Anyway, long or the short, my wife and I were in a schismatic group for the first 20 years or whatever. And here about 5 years ago, I reconciled with the church. She has not. It's not a bitter, it's patience. Because, like, it's really hurting the kids, you know, in a thousand ways. And I just catch myself like, okay, God, I got it. I learned the lesson here. Can you pull her out of it, please, so we can maybe... I don't know, get our kids in a good school, little things like that. Would you say that this, I mean, would you have anything to add for patience, you know?
Yes, I would. And I love that you brought this up. So phase one of your prayer is good. Lord, pull her out of this. Now here's the next prayer that's harder, but even higher. Lord, if she doesn't come out of us, change me and change the kids to cope with it the way you want us to cope with it. So that now you're not dependent on her leaving or staying. You center yourself in Christ, his love for you, and no matter what happens, you don't lose your serenity or your grounding. Does that make sense?
That does.
What would happen if she never leaves?
That's a question.
Okay, yeah. don't obsess about it. Take it to the Lord and say, okay, I want to not be thinking about this every day. I want to just assume if it happens, you'll take care of me. You'll take care of her. You'll take care of the kids. We're all going to be okay. I don't know how yet, but I know that in some deep part of myself. And you'll probably have another part that has his arms folded across his chest going, yeah, right. But that, you know, that interior conflict is normal. But ask God for the grace to not be so dependent on what she does or doesn't do. Can you do that?
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, I'm going to pray for you, brother.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, Tim. I'm going to keep going. I think we can get another call or two on before we have to go. Let's go to Catherine in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Welcome, Catherine. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hello. It's not really a question.
Okay.
I heard Michael call in, and I really connected with what he had to say.
Okay.
About increasing his rosary time. My husband and I, we've been married now for 27 years. And through those 27 years, we've seen 5 miscarriages, the loss of his mom, the loss of my mom, the loss of my sister, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I have to say, the thing that helped me the most was adoration. I increased my adoration time with the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I can't recommend anything stronger than that.
That's beautiful.
I was feeling very distant from my husband, especially during the miscarriages, because he kind of shut himself off emotionally. And so I started going to the Lord and talking to the Lord about the problems. And I just found that the more time that I spent with the Lord, for one thing, my need for intimacy had decreased because I was getting intimacy with the Lord. And second of all, he was answering my prayers.
Yes. That's absolutely beautiful. I love it. Catherine, I'm so sorry that you went through all that. Oh, my goodness. That's so much. But that's the key, is to draw close to the Lord and allow ourselves to be attached to him in a healthy way, and not to shut everybody else out who's hurt us or disappointed us, but to stay grounded with the Lord. And then when we're ready, you know, to come back out with fresh eyes and go, okay, I'm going to love you the best way I know how, because I don't need to depend on you and your actions for my happiness.
Right.
Good girl. Good girl.
But not only that, but the Lord shows us how to love.
He does.
And the Lord's patience is tremendous. Oh, my goodness. And through uniting myself to him in prayer, I found I became more patient with my husband.
And let me ask you this, Catherine, have you become more patient with yourself?
Still working on that.
Back to adoration, Catherine.
I don't stop.
Praise God.
I go every week. Every week.
Good girl.
I have my hour time slot every week that I go.
God is good. God is good. I like that we're going to, and I'm sorry to those callers that we weren't able to get to, but we're going to have to end right there because we've got Tim Staples coming up next hour. But I'm happy to end on the adoration thing, because when you talked about, you know, one of your 6 steps was detach. Detach doesn't mean disengage or abandon somebody. It means not being dependent on their emotional happiness for your emotional happiness.
Amen.
And Catherine got there by going to the Lord, and I think he was probably just reassuring her, you're mine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, Cy. Thank you, guys, all of you at Catholic Answers, for approaching this topic.
This is one of my favorite shows I've ever done with you, Rose. I'm going to tell you right, I've been doing shows with you for years and years, and this is one of my favorite shows we've ever done. So thank you for doing it with us. Maybe we'll take up this topic again sometime, because I do think a lot of us, marriage is hard. And
It is.
I know we got marriage prep and all those things. Yeah, but, you know, it's like... It's like going through the, you know, the classes, but that's not the same as experiencing the real thing. So we need to help each other. Coming up next, Tim Staples. You can ask him whatever you want on Catholic Answers Live.